I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, Mac, with me you can ride. And so I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand, and I said, listen, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man, I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man, I breathe the mountain air, man. I travel, I've had my share, man, I've been everywhere. I've been to Reno, Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota.
Good evening, Vashon Island. How are you? I am Megan Hastings, and this is the Cats and Jammer Follies, a travel story show. And today, I have my very good friend, Melody Woods, on the show. And she is a longtime Islander, and very many years previously, a huge participant in Voice of Vashon as well.
Yeah. Was on the board for 8 years.
Yeah. And she is also an a crazy, crazy traveler, and lived for 9 years in Italy and worked in film as a producer, among many other things I can imagine that you did. Wore many hats, I can imagine. But so we're going to read a couple different stories today. Melody, do you have anything you want to say?
Well, thanks for having me on the show, Megan. We've exchanged a lot of funny travel stories over the years that we've known each other. So I love the fact that you finally put a radio show together to start to collect them all so other people can hear them.
Oh, me too. I was saying earlier, we met before we came over here, and Vashon is a very well-educated group of people and well-traveled, and so it has made for this show to be really easy to make happen because there's so many people with so many crazy stories out there, and I just love them all.
It's been great to listen to your show and hear some of the travel stories, too. I love it.
Thank you. I'm going to start with one little story here. So this is going to be sort of an ongoing excerpt. It's not like a diary. It's just sort of funny stories of when I first was young and beginning to travel. And, okay, I'm going to start it. I keep thinking there's going to be like a drum roll, but there's not. At the age of 16, I was lucky enough to be an exchange student to Italy. I had just arrived to a place I had never heard of, the island of Sardinia. We took the ferry, or traghetto, from outside of Rome and arrived to Cagliari, the capital city. The ferry arrives in the very early morning with sun, a beautiful orange glow, onto the port and the main street of Via Roma, a street that is lined with date palms and loggias, or columns. Underneath, you can hide from the sun under these loggias. I'd never seen a date palm before. I had eyes so new to this magical sort of Eden, where the shadows cast play tricks on your eyes. I closed mine for a moment as we pulled into the port and was so thrilled to have arrived. The ferry was greeted with the families of myself and two other students who were on board. It was a middle-aged couple with their teenage children. The boy wore a t-shirt of Iron Maiden, and the girl had thick black hair and lots of acne with a sweet, goofy smile. They took me to their house, and we began the process of getting to know one another. They had a housekeeper who would make glorious, glorious lunches, and this made the process easier. Her food was just beautiful. One of the other exchange students was a girl called Caroline. She was from Southern California, with long blonde hair and a body that was always, always tan. An unlikely character for me to pair up with, but that is in fact what I did. The island is notorious for its beaches, and the city was no exception. The main beach is called Poetto, with its many kilometers of pure fine sand and azzurro blue of the Mediterranean Sea. This quickly became my home. I was 16 after all, with a bleached out orange pixie cut, and I was ready to go. Poetto was a beach scene like I had never known even ever existed. Rows and rows of beach cabins that people rent for the season to house food and water or water games. My host family had one of these cabanas. Every day I would make my way there, eat sandwiches with dolce sardo, the local cheese, and warm, sun-ripened tomatoes. Caroline and I quickly made friends with all of the fun and tan people that we could find on this beach. Most nights were either spent at the beaches or at the local discotecas, dancing, smoking hash, and drinking Vermentino di Sardegna, the staple of the region. I started coming home later and later to the host family. My ignorance of the strict Sardinian culture was evident. A regret I would have later in life. But being so young and coming from a family that didn't really have any rules, I just didn't understand. Many years later, in conversation with a Sardinian friend called Franco, I would learn that up until around 1980, that women or girls would have to be escorted by a male family member in public. When he said this, it all sort of clicked. The reason this seemingly modern family was so strict with me in 1987. The island at that point was only really beginning to open up to the rest of the world. It had been for so long a place of sheep herders, farmers, and banditos, notorious outlaws, and so different from mainland Italy. After a few months of wreaking havoc on this poor family, I was finally asked to leave. At that point, I had to justify my poor young actions and say to myself, well, I didn't just have a full-time job in Chicago after school for the whole year to be locked up in a bedroom with this weird family. There was, of course, nothing weird about this family. They had been kind and opened up their home to me. I was the weird one acting out so immaturely. The exchange program was up in arms. They wanted to send me home. I said that I would find my own place to live and I didn't need their help. This did not go over very well. So I quit school and I left the island with Caroline and headed for the mainland. I left on the very same ferry I had arrived on, headed to Civitavecchia, and started from Rome going north. The goal of every day was to find a place to sleep for free or almost free, literally relying on the kindness of strangers. Mostly this almost always worked out, but there were a few issues we encountered. We arrived in Florence and met a guy named Fernando. He invited us over to his apartment. We made dinner, drank wine, laughed, and had a great time. I fell asleep on the bed next to Caroline, and he was going to sleep on the couch. I woke up to him laying naked between us with his hand rubbing my back with a big grin. I jumped up, I hit Caroline, grabbed my things, and ran out the door with her following behind me in a slow hangover. I've been back to Florence many times, and I always see his face, and I think to myself, well, you can't blame the guy for trying. He did have two young American girls in his bed. I believe we stayed at a youth hostel that night.
Sotto la curva del cielo, in un applauso di stelle, ho salutato la mia gioventù per ritornare bambino, procedendo in avanti senza passare dalla saggezza, masticando una gomma al gusto di bicicletta che non finisce mai, neanche se te ne vai, e lo ridico ancora per impararlo a memoria. In questi giorni impazziti di polvere e di gloria, e lo ripeto ancora fino a strapparmi le corde vocali, ora che siamo qui, noi siamo gli immortali.
And now we are going to go to the beautiful Melody Woods, and we're going to talk about your time working in film in Italy for all those years. What originally brought you there?
Well, I spent a total of about 30 years in the production industry.
I started in
Los Angeles, yeah. Right? Finished high school, decided to take a gap year before I went to UCLA, and I got offered a job to be a production assistant on a TV commercial. Mm-hmm. Our neighbor was a producer. And she paid me $40 for that day, which I thought was an enormous amount of money for basically having to like pick up donuts and coffee and like empty the trash. And, you know, I was like, this is pretty easy. I kind of like this. And I just really loved the camaraderie of crew people. And it was just, I kind of decided at that point that that might be a good career, because before then I thought, well, I might be a writer, but mm-hmm. I didn't like the idea of being stuck by myself all the time writing.
Yeah, it's a really solitary profession.
Right.
Unless you're on a comedy show.
Unless you're on a comedy show. So ultimately, that's what I ended up doing. I ended up being in production for many years. And anybody who's ever worked in the film business or production business knows that when you travel, there is no time for any, there is no personal time. Right. When you're working, you are working. So,
and it's so many hours.
It's so many hours, right? And even when you, you know, on the production side as a producer, I kept thinking every, you know, ladder, every rung up the ladder, I kept thinking, well, next, when I get to be a coordinator, I won't have to schlep so much. And then when I get to be a production manager, I won't have to schlep so much. And then I became a producer and I'm still, still schlepping. So I spent kind of, you know, 30 years schlepping. But,
Schlepping with fun people.
Schlepping with fun people. What I did like, however, was the chance that it gave me an opportunity to travel a lot of places, and for the most part, kind of first class. You know, as once you get to producer, you know, status, then you have to travel with the director. Directors always travel first class. So, you know, I was very. Yeah. We always stayed in nice hotels for the most part. I mean, there were a couple cruddy ones along the way, but I just never got to like really enjoy all these places on my own
because you were just always on.
So I made a decision to take a year off and travel around the world, and I made this decision and said, okay, a year from now I'm leaving, I'm going to travel around the world. And I bought one of those at the time, Pan Am travel around the world.
I remember
tickets
those
for
tickets.
Like $1,500.
Yeah. And you just had to go in like one direction.
You just had to keep going the same direction, and you had a year to complete your travel. Mm-hmm. So I bought this ticket because then that like set it in stone. And, and then I started just collecting names and numbers for.
And were you still in LA?
I was still in. Well, actually, at that point, I was living in San Francisco, but working mostly with LA. Yeah. With production companies and directors from LA or New York or, LA and New York, basically. So I just started collecting names and numbers of people, you know, of friends of people that I worked with all over the world, thinking, well, every place I go, I want to be able to like call somebody that I have a connection with.
Right. You know. And this would be a time before there were iPhones.
Before there were cell phones.
When you actually had to like
real landline numbers.
Yeah,
right?
Where it was like $20
before,
a minute
email,
to call
really,
somebody.
You know, I mean, email was in its very infancy at that point, and most people, you know, weren't on that bandwagon.
Right.
So long story short, that's kind of how I started my, you know, what I like to call the world tour. But I didn't make it very far because I had decided that I was going to learn Italian. That was going to be part of my thing. So I was planning to spend 3 months in Italy at the university in Perugia to study Italian.
With Amanda. Amanda Knox.
Yeah. And she was a little, came a little bit after I did. But, and so long story short, that's how I ended up living almost 9 years in Italy. I just never made it the rest of the way around the world on that ticket.
I can totally believe that. Once you get there, it's a magical place and you never want to leave.
But most of my funny travel stories, even though, you know, I have been able to take vacations, particularly when I lived in Italy, because Italians are good about taking vacations, right? Most of my funny travel stories are tied to being on location working in other states or other countries. And even when I lived in Italy, we shot a lot in other places in Europe.
And what were some of the things that you would work on?
Everything from, you know, kind of music videos to big international commercials, like for British Airways or, you know, UPS or, you know, American Airlines. There were a lot of Barilla Pasta. There were a lot of different kinds of commercials. And we worked with a lot of, the company I worked for was really like the Italian clearinghouse for international directors, you know, who would come there and kind of base themselves out of Italy. Was a good place. The exchange rate was good at a time. And then you could quickly get to other places in Europe as well.
Yeah. And did you work directly, like the national television in Italy is called Rai?
Right. I didn't work for Rai. I worked for a production company. And part of the time that I worked for that company, we developed projects for the Rai, but I didn't work for the Rai.
And did you also work on movies or mostly it was commercials?
It was mostly commercials, TV commercials, music videos. And then also for about a year, I worked in development on TV, kind of TV movies for the European Union through the Italian company. But it was like really boring and nothing ever got done because, you know, all these countries would squabble about who got what. You know, that's how you got all the
money.
You mean
as they divided up the money for the European Union?
Yeah, you get this money, but that means you have to have like two cast members from Ireland and three from Italy, and the director has to be from this country, and the producer has to be from a different country. So it was like kind of the United Nations of production, and it took forever to get anything done.
Well, it's interesting when I think about the EU, and there are so many wonderful things about it, and then there are so many things that just don't make any sense.
Yeah. It's kind of like the Tower of Babel, you know, literally. It was just really so difficult. So I went back to production after that. Well, actually, I started the first web design company in Italy after that. But yeah, it was like, okay, development.
Is the company still there?
No, I sold it to my partners at the time. I took in partners and then they in turn sold it. So it's called something different now, but it actually exists still.
Wow, that's amazing, Melody. I didn't realize that. So who are some... Who's your like list of characters that you met along the way while you were there?
Well, probably, without a doubt, the most famous person that I met and worked with would be Federico Fellini. I produced what at the time was an unprecedented budget for a series of TV commercials that also played in the cinemas for Banca di Roma, for the Bank of Rome, and the ad agency had hired Fellini to direct them.
That is so far out, I can't even believe it. That is like, that's like touching gold in this world of meeting Federico Fellini.
I know.
So what was he like?
Well, he was very, very charming.
Oh, God.
Very charming. I remember the first time that I met him. I wasn't originally supposed to be the producer on it. The company that I worked for had a number of producers, and they had assigned another producer to that because I was working with a British director at the time on another set of TV commercials. But for whatever reason, that producer did not get along. Fellini took a dislike to her and just was being really
lucky
impossible. So my boss, one of the owners of the production company, calls me into his office and he says, I need you to go over to Cinecittà, where they were shooting this, and you have to take over for Sonia. And I was like, or what about one that I was working on? He goes, Sonia will swap places with you. She's worked with that director before. It'll be fine. I was like, okay, fine. So literally just really thrown to the wolves. So I like trot out to, you know, Cinecittà. And when I arrive there, it's lunchtime. They're breaking for lunch. And the first person I see is Fellini's director of photography, Beppe Giuseppe Rotuno, who's very well known, shot most of Fellini's films. And he's walking out the stage door. And so he's like, ah, ciao, Melodia, come stai, et cetera. And so the crew people and whatever, and everybody's saying hi and doing the, you know, baci baci double kiss thing. Yeah. And then from the depths of the stage, I, you know, hear, he says in Italian, this voice that goes, who is this woman and why is she kissing all of you and not me?
Oh, my God.
And then out walks Fellini, right? In his trademark hat and his scarf and, you know, and then
oh, my God, that is so...
So I walk towards him and I like hold out my hand and he, you know, and he goes, hand, nonsense, and kisses me on both cheeks. And so it was really funny because
so beautiful. I'm so jealous right now.
So great. But he, for whatever reason, decided he was only going to speak to me in English. So I decided I would only speak to him in Italian. So we had this little funny thing for that entire shoot that we worked together.
How long did you end up working with him?
Well,
how long was
let's
the
see,
shoot?
The shoot probably lasted at that point. They were probably, I think, about a week into it. And we had to take a break for set changes and something at one point. So it was probably like, I don't know, 2 to 3 weeks, maybe.
That's a pretty long time to spend with Fellini.
And we didn't shoot every day because he's very slow and methodical and makes a lot of last minute changes.
Well, so that was going to, I was going to come to that. Are these, are they on YouTube or anything like that? I'd be so curious to see what his vision would be for Banco di Roma.
Well, you can imagine if you've seen his films.
Sure.
These ads were, I think they were each 1 minute long. Well, they originally were supposed to be 1 minute long. I think they came in at like 3 minutes long because that's Fellini. And then they had to cut them down into smaller things. But they played in cinemas and, you know, they made short versions, 60-second versions for TV. And, you know, it won awards at the Cannes, you know, advertising festival. Yeah. But that first day, my favorite part of working with him was that very first day because, like I said, it was lunchtime. So makes these introductions, whatever. And then he says, you know, you have to come and sit with me and have lunch. Come sit next to me while we're having lunch and talk.
Not to
me.
Interrupt you, but I'm just curious. On the set of an Italian film, is there wine while people are working?
Well,
that's the big
it's
question.
Not on the stage, but when you break, most of the time you're getting your food catered, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes you get, you know, kind of like little bento box type lunches too. And yes, it always has wine in it. You don't have to drink
so that. Civilized.
Yeah, but it's a little what they call the quartino, you know, those mm-hmm. little tiny carafes, yes. You know, which is like a glass, you know, of wine.
Perfect.
So Fellini always ate the same lunch every day. He ate from a restaurant, spaghetti alla cacio e pepe. Which
seriously, is, that's what Fellini
ate every
day?
He ate that every day. And when he was shooting at Cinecittà, or every day that I was there anyway, he ate, sometimes with a little salad. But it came from this little mom and pop, you know, trattoria across from Cinecittà.
Oh.
And they'd been there for years. And, you know, now it was the son of the original owners and the sons, you know, and the nonna who was still making Fellini's cacio e pepe.
I was going to say he probably has eaten it for a million years.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was like his favorite cacio e pepe. It was like, this was the classic. It was the only place that could ever make it properly. And so he said, have you ever had cacio e pepe? And I said, no, actually I hadn't ever had that. And he said, ah, vieni qua, come here. Vieni qua, cara. And I was like, okay. And then he motioned me to like, actually he twists a fork full of this, makes me like, pats his lap. So next thing you know, I'm sitting on Fellini's lap and he's feeding me his fork of, you know, spaghetti alla cacio e pepe.
For those of you that do not know Melody Woods, she's a pretty foxy woman with long blonde hair. And I can imagine Fellini would have been all over that. But.
Now, if any other director had said, sit on my lap and I'll feed you my pasta, I would have like told him to take a hike. But when Fellini, you know, pats his lap and says, sit here, you know,
you do it.
You do it. Yeah. So that was, you know, that was my kind of funniest story about that. And he was really funny. He could be really irascible and sometimes contrary just to be contrary, mm-hmm. you know, he, but I had a good time working with him and I think he just saw it as kind of like fun. Okay. It's fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, one day I would love to see these videos. Commercials.
I should maybe look them up and if you could. Maybe,
I bet if they've won awards that they would
well,
be
they did,
somewhere.
Well, they did win, like, you know, Italy, like the best of, you know, and the Cannes Advertising Festival that year. And I'm trying to think. I think they would have come out and it would have been either 83 or 84.
Mm-hmm.
And you could probably, if you just Google Fellini, Banca di Roma, yeah. You could probably, there might be videos there.
I'm sure there are.
Everything's
as soon
on YouTube,
as I leave
right?
here.
So. Everything's recorded.
He had a beautiful vision.
Yeah. Fortunately, there were no cell phones with cameras in those days, you know, because I would have loved to have had a photo of me on Fellini's lap with his, you know, fork of spaghetti.
Oh, yeah.
So
I would like to see that.
But, you know, those were always my, you know, my travel stories always ended up, you know, like being related to work and traveling to other, you know, places and countries. But that's really like my favorite.
Well, that's a pretty great one.
Yeah.
I, of course, have had a long time crush on Marcello Mastroianni, who was his main actor.
Right.
Basically my whole entire life. And but you did not meet him. He was not on this.
No, I actually saw him a couple times just in the streets of Rome, but I never actually met him. Trying to think of other people. Well, I had dinner with Bertolucci once. So that was via friends who invited us to their house. He was in town in Rome making a film. So I got invited to dinner, a dinner party. That was lovely. Yeah. And, you know, he had a British wife. And so, you know, he was perfectly, you know, bilingual and,
right.
and very, very knowledgeable. And he loved to talk politics. And I'm trying to think. And when
but you do still speak Italian very well.
Yeah. Well, thanks. I try to keep up with it. I write it probably more than I actually speak it now because I still like, you know, Facebook and message friends and stuff
which
like that.
Which is funny because I really, I'm not a, because because you heard the story, I dropped out of school.
So you didn't learn to write properly.
I didn't learn how to write properly, but I know a lot of slang.
And Rome was one of those places, though, that you always saw famous people, like, you know, all the time when, you know, Coppola was always in Rome. He did, you know, several Godfather films there, and he would always, he had a fame, his favorite, you know, bar, coffee place that was in Piazza Farnese. And I used to go there all the time too. So I would, you know, be sitting in a, in the cafe having coffee with, you know, Coppola two tables away or something like that. You always saw famous people in Rome, but yeah.
It's interesting how you went from like the actual Hollywood to then like the Italian Hollywood.
Exactly.
And now you're
Isn't
on Vashon. Yeah.
And now I'm on Vashon. Not quite. And then I end up working in Vancouver, you know, for all those years, which is the Hollywood North. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of funny from, well, you know, I'm from Chicago originally too.
Right.
Small, then lived in a little town until I was 13 and my family
and
moved to LA.
I worked in film for a short bit when I lived there. I did costume.
Yeah.
Which was fun. So I know what it's like to be on those sets and those long days and that camaraderie of those millions of hours.
Of people.
Like 2 solid months or whatever. And then you're like, see you later.
But
or maybe never again.
Or maybe never. I know. Well, they were just, yeah, great, great, great times. And I love that. And then later, you know, I still lived in Italy when Fellini passed away. First, his wife passed away. And everybody thought he
Did
would
you
go
meet her?
First. Giulietta, yeah, I met her as well. And everybody thought he would go first because... he was the one that was always having health issues, but in fact, she passed away. And then not that long afterwards, he passed away. So I did go to his service in Rome.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah. And that was quite sad.
Vieni, via. Vieni via di qui. Niente più ti lega questi luoghi. Neanche questi fiori azzurri, via via, neanche questo tempo grigio, pieno di musiche e di uomini che ti sono piaciuti. It's wonderful, it's wonderful, it's wonderful, good luck my baby, it's wonderful, it's wonderful, it's wonderful, I dream of you, chips, chips, do 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 do.
Melody Woods, I want to thank you again so much for coming on and sharing your incredible stories.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for inviting me. Well, we've laughed, you know, you and I, we've laughed and shared some pretty funny experience as well.
I actually
Italy,
think
so.
We need to have an LA version.
Oh, the LA. Oh, yeah. Okay.
We both got some pretty outlandish stories
That wouldn't be travel. That would be like,
well, we can travel to LA.
We could travel back in time.
We can fudge it a little bit.
Okay. We can find some way to make that work. Well,
I
I'd
think
love
we
to.
Can do
anytime. Thanks for having me on
Thank
the show.
Thank you so much.
I've been everywhere.
Thank you, Vashon Island. This has been Megan Hastings with the voice of Vashon and the Cats and Jammer Follies. Tune in next week for another travel story from Little Tales from This Big Bad World.